Today I want to talk to you about something that I am very, very passionate about, and I really believe this is something that people struggle with, and they wrestle with, and they are trying to get right, and sometimes they nail it, sometimes they miss it completely. But if you have a Bible, if you have your digital device with your Bible app on it, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And let me just throw this at you. I believe it's good for a person to bring a Bible to church, whether it be electronic or old school Bible, okay? Let me tell you why. Because I know y'all are incredible people, well-educated, and you retain a lot of knowledge. But there's just something about seeing it written on paper or seeing it written digitally that you can see it and remember it. There are some words that are in God's Word that will just jump out and grab you. And I want to encourage you to become a Bible bringer to church, amen? Be a Bible bringer. I still bring my leather Bible with me to church. Now, I'm preaching off the iPad, but I bring my leather Bible because if somebody comes to me with something, I can't find it on the iPad, but I can find it in my leather Bible. It's in there, I promise you. And so I want to encourage you, bring your Bible with you to church and bring an ink pen. Write things down because there are some things that you need to remember that you're going to have to go back and look at later on down the road, okay? So I want to encourage you to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, let me set this up for you. See, Paul is this colossal apostle, and he's going around starting these churches in these different regions, and he had these proteges, these sons in the ministry, I guess you would call them, and one of them is this guy named Timothy, and so Timothy, he's taken over one of these churches, but he's a young pastor, you know what I'm saying? You got to watch out for those young pastors, all right? And that's why I'm a little bit older than that. I know I look young, but I'm a little older, so you don't have to watch out for that. But Timothy was a young pastor, and he dealt with a lot of discouragement. He dealt with a lot of security and even a lot of fears. Come on, anybody ever been there before? And so he's trying to lead these people, and he's got this great mandate from God, but he's kind of stressing out a little bit. And so Paul wanted to take care of this guy, and so he couldn't get to him because travel back then was not as easy as it is now. So he would write these letters, and so he wrote this letter to Timothy just trying to encourage him to keep him going. And I would say we got to have somebody to encourage us in our lives, amen? Somebody that's going to encourage us to keep on and going and doing the things of God. And so Paul is this guy for Timothy. And this is one of the things he tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And as we read this, can you take this personally today? I want you to imagine as though he was writing this to you because I believe it'll encourage you. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I like those names. They sound like they could be from around here. Am I right? Lois and Eunice. How many of y'all know somebody named Eunice? I know a lady named Eunice. Isn't that awesome? And so it's kind of like these are home folk, okay? And so Paul's saying, listen, I remember your faith. You share that faith first filled your mother Lois, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. That is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. In other words, Paul had prayed for him and sent him out to go do this ministry thing. And there was a gift that God had imparted to his life. And he said, hey, I want you to remember that gift. In fact, I want you to have a passion. I want you to be passionate about this thing that God has put in your life. And watch this next verse. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Isn't that a good verse? Yeah. He's trying to encourage him because obviously he's got some fearful situations. And he said, that spirit of fear that you have, that did not come from God. But the kind of spirit that God gave you is one of power. It's a powerful spirit. It's a loving spirit. And it helps you to discipline yourselves to do all that God created you to do. Come on, isn't God good that he would do that for? And so he's just trying to get him pumped up here a little bit and get him to really, really believe what God has for him. And so he says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And when you study this word fear out, and I got to tell you this, because sometimes we just think fear, we just think, oh, I'm scared. But he says, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, the spirit of a coward. Well, that's a game changer, am I right? God didn't give you the spirit of a coward where you're saying, I can't do this, I got to walk away. But he gives you a spirit that enables you to stick with it, to stay with it. He gives you the power, he loves you, and he gives you enough self-discipline to hang in there. Elbow your neighbor and say, you better hang in there. Because somebody's thinking about quitting something they have no business quitting. And I ain't just talking about the gym. Somebody told me yesterday, you look like you have been working out. I said, I have. I've been running, chasing my kids everywhere. Anyway, I don't know if you're laughing for me or at me. I'd love to hear you laugh. So watch this, verse 8. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Now, when I read scripture, I try to get the most obvious stuff out of it. So when he tells them, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, perhaps that's something Timothy was struggling with. And you wouldn't think that, am I right? I mean, if your name shows up in the Bible, it just seems like you got to have it all together, unless you're the devil. Other than that, pretty much everybody's got it together, so it seems. But then when you start reading the stories, you realize, like, people like Abraham, they didn't have it all together. But yet, he's one of the giants in the faith. Somebody like Moses, I mean, come on, we're talking about holy Moses, y'all. But even Moses had some skeletons in his closet. Did you know that before Moses saved the Israelites out of Egypt, that he killed a man and buried him in the sand in the middle of the desert? And you thought you were crazy. Seriously, King David is committing adultery. And then, I mean, listen, you want to talk about Jerry Springer show? Commits adultery with the woman and then has her husband brought out to the battlefield and killed. I mean, you're talking about Lifetime movies here. So you just read the Bible and read some obvious stuff. And obviously Timothy's struggling with this. He says, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to, watch this word, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Can I tell you, that's the least popular word in church today, is the word suffer. No one likes suffering because it just sounds so suffering. Am I right? It just sounds like, I don't want anything to do with that. I got enough suffering in my own life. But when you really, really look at these words and study out what that means, it says, be ready to suffer with me. In other words, to walk with me through some mess. And this is what I find, is that we're not good with walking people through messes. We're not good with walking with people in the middle of their mess. We want to roll out because we don't like the stress that comes from the mess. But listen, as believers, we got to stay together and walk with some people through some junk. I was going to say some other words right there, but it wouldn't be appropriate. But you got to stick with some people when they're walking through it. Amen? Yeah. Come on. Be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us. Watch this. God saved us and called us. He didn't just say some people. He said God saved who? Us. And who did he call? Us. He saved us and he called us. And you say, yeah, but keep reading, Pastor Wade. You'll see what it really means. He called us to live a holy life. We're going to dive into that in a minute, okay? He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And he broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God, watch this, and God what? Chose me. And you say, yeah, but that's Paul. I want you to know that God chose you. He saved you, he called you, but he also chose you. And we don't even know what we're chosen for yet. And we're trying to live this life, and I think we're missing some things because we don't know what God chose us for. We don't know. We're going to talk about that a little bit today because I believe that's the stuff that begins to change your life. That's the stuff that begins to give you some purpose and puts a little pep in your step so you're not just mulling through this Christian life. We just want to make it, brother and sister. But we're actually thriving and we're enjoying our walk with God. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you for that woo. God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. Watch this now. Verse 12. That's why I'm suffering here in prison. God chose me. Woo! Everybody's excited about getting chosen. But then he follows it right up. And that's why I'm suffering. Because God chose me. See, we would think if God's hand, we mentioned this last week, if God's hand was on my life, if God chose me, if God blessed me, I would not have a problem. But we discussed it last week that not everyone will agree with the blessing of God on your life. Not everyone will agree with the fact that he chose you and that he called you. In fact, some would even disagree with the fact that God would save you. Come on, you know there's people in your life that say, ain't no way God could forgive you. But he did. Thank you, Jesus. He said, that's why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And if I was sitting out there today with you, I'd have my leather Bible out, I'd pull out an ink pen, and I would underline that. I know the one whom I trust. I thought he was bringing me a bagel. Be that way, bro. I know the one whom I trust. For I know the one in whom I trust. Say it with me. For I know the one in whom I trust. Say it again. For I know the one in whom I trust. Do you know the one that you trust? See, we have fallen into the trap of trusting information. But we have forgotten about the people who gave us the information. There's some credibility there. There's some track record there that helps us to take some steps that we have never been willing to take. Let's not be so cheap about information that we forget the people that God used to deliver it to us. Amen? He says, I know the one whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. So watch this. He gets practical. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the key here, not through your power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Let's pray before we jump in. Jesus, today I pray your blessings over this entire church. Pray for every person that sits here today, that as we hear this message, Father, not only is it going to help us to understand some things, but Father, it's going to cause us to take steps to get in the place, God, to be the man and woman that you want us to be. So I pray for your help today, Lord, your anointing to be on my lips as I speak this. Father, help me to speak it with such life, God, that it motivates us, God. It moves us, God, to be everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's set this up, all right? So what's happening here is this guy, Timothy, he's got this faith legacy that's going on in his family. He's got his grandmother and he's got his mother. We got Lois and Eunice, okay? That were obviously some faithful influences in his life. And so last week we talked about loyalty to God. We talked about loyalty to God's cause. And we're seeing a couple ladies here who had a loyalty to God and God's cause. And it's having a generational effect in her family. You ever heard somebody say, I wonder what's gotten into these kids? It's not just negative stuff that gets into them. It's the grace of God that will get into them whenever we are loyal to the Lord. Amen? Come on, and so there's some loyalty that is paying off in their lives, and they're seeing it in their son, Timothy. And what's happening is Paul is reminding him to do something with what God has done in him. And I want to remind you and ask you, are you doing something with what God has been doing in you? Are you doing something with it? And Paul is just holding him accountable to it. He's just reminding him, hey, man, you got what it takes. You can do this. And so Timothy, dealing with this fear, just like all of us, but God gave us the Holy Spirit. That's greater than any fear. Amen. It's powerful. It's his love. It's his endurance. It's his discipline. And God gave it to us. And Paul's just saying, Timothy, you're not in this by yourself. And that's a word for somebody here today. You're not in this by yourself because God has given us his Holy Spirit. Amen? He's given us the Holy Spirit to walk beside us. And can I just take a moment and tell you, the Holy Spirit isn't just a force, but it is the person of God in spirit form. And so when you get the Holy Spirit, you're not just getting a portion of God, but you're getting all of him. And he said that he is going to walk with you. And even though people may have rolled on you, the Holy Spirit says, I will go with you where no one else is willing to go. And this is all Paul's trying to tell him. Come on, Timothy. You got this. God gave you his spirit. I know it's hard. You're not in jail. I am. So get over yourself, son. Enjoy the freedom that you got. You're eating good meals. I'm eating prison food. I mean, this is what he's trying to convey to him, but he's not saying it that way because, you know, he's writing it. And people who write things out, it can later be held against them. So he's trying to be right, okay? And Paul tells him, he says, look, God saved you and he called you. You notice what he's doing? He's bringing him right back to where it started. See, most of us, we only know where we're at. But we forget what God already brought us to. We forgot the day that God saved us. We forgot the day that God pulled us out of that pit. All we can see right now is the struggle that we're in. But we forget about the time when we were at wit's end, we didn't know what to do, and we learned about this man named Jesus who would save us and forgive every sin. We forgot the feelings of that forgiveness that we once received. We forgot all of that, and now it's just numb to us because we hear about it so much, and we go to church, and it's just the norm to us, but we forget. And Paul's just trying to take Timothy back, and he said, hey, bro, God saved you. And not only did he save you, but he called you. And you got to fan this thing into flame. You got to become passionate about what God has done in your life. Are you passionate about what God has done in your life? Or is it just, oh yeah, I remember when you did that. I remember the day I got baptized. That was nice. People clapped. It's good. I got a free t-shirt. Man, that was a milestone in your life. Do you know what it took for you to take that step of faith? Come on, anybody been baptized recently and know what I'm talking about? You were scared to death. People were talking you into it. We told him to do that. Get wet. Get baptized. You can do this. You didn't want to. And then afterwards you were like, I'm so glad I did this. And the excitement and all the joy and the snowball afterwards. You got a snow cone. Y'all call them snow cone. I call them snowball. Pina colada, condensed milk. We forget all of that stuff because it's so hard right now. It's so hard. But we forget that God saved us, and we got to go back. And even you read the story about David, he fell into sin, and what did God do? He brought him back to the day of his salvation. Amen. We got to remember the day that we knelt to our knee and prayed that prayer to God and surrendered completely to him. I remember, man. I remember the day. I remember when I was 10 years old. It was a couple years ago, but I remember when my dad asked me, have you ever given your life to Jesus? And I said, I've just been coming to church with y'all. That's what I told him. And he says, you can give your life to Jesus. He'll forgive every one of your sins. All of them? Yeah. I thought it was a good thing. So I prayed the prayer. And afterwards, I felt like a brand new man. Imagine that, being 10 years old, feeling like a brand new man. Like, what kind of stretch you got in your life at 10 years old? I'm already up past my bedtime. We were at church, and that's when church went long, y'all. Don't ever complain here. Don't ever complain here. I'll bring you to some places where we're going to be here a while. You got to go back, though, to the day where God saved you. You got to go back to the day he called you. And look, he says he saved you and he called you to live holy. And when people hear that word, they start running for the woods. Because when they think of holy, they have a stereotype in mind. They have a stereotype of a very, very religious scene. An expression that they don't want any part with because we've seen failures of it. We've seen hypocrisy of it. But the word holy is an incredible word. In fact, it is one of the most incredible words to describe God. And when you think of holy, you think of somebody who thinks they're all that and better than somebody. But really, holy means to be set apart. It's not usual. It's not normal. It's even better. And whenever there's this call to be holy, what God is saying is, live like you've been saved. Live like you've been set apart. Live like you've been reserved for a cause, for a purpose. That you're not just living a usual life, but you're living an extraordinary life. Come on, are you starting to grab this? And so your holiness, this is God saying, I want to set you apart. In other words, you're not going to be like everybody else. We fall into the trap of trying to be like everyone, trying to look like everyone. I remember, listen, when I was a youth pastor, there was the whole Generation X movement. You remember Nirvana, the band, all that stuff? Come on, some of you, you just heard it in your mind, that whole Teen Spirit song. You were like singing it. All that stuff. Remember, everybody was trying to be different. Everybody wanted to look different. They wanted to be different, and we wanted to be original. But do you remember what everybody was wearing? Everybody was wearing Chucks because they wanted to be different, but everybody was wearing Chucks. If you don't know what Chucks are, they're Chuck Taylor Converse tennis shoes. Everybody was wearing them because they wanted to be different. Spike belts, spike wristbands. Oh, I'm different than everybody, but you went to Hot Topic. And I didn't. This was before Amazon and eBay. Everybody wanted to be different, but in their attempt to be different, we all wound up being the same. I'm going to The Gap. Well, I'm going to Abercrombie. How is that store still open today? I have no idea. But we want to be different. But usually in our attempts to be different, there was an influence that we saw that we're trying to emulate. And in our attempt to emulate that, we all wind up falling into the same trap. And we're looking the same, we're sounding the same, we're doing the same things. And God's call to holiness is, listen, I called you for a higher purpose. In other words, it's not a lateral move, but it's a promotion to a higher purpose. Are you grabbing this today? And so he's saying, listen, I'm not looking just for you to change your behavior. I want to change your life. And the way he changes our life is by changing our heart. And so when he saves us, he's saving us for what? For his holiness. Somebody's got to grab a hold of this today, because your whole thought of holiness is you saying some certain things, dressing a certain way, acting certain ways. But you have to know that holiness is the work that God is working in us. I'm getting fired up about holiness today, and this is what the message was supposed to be about. Who knew I was going to say Abercrombie and Fitch in the message today? Who knew? That's why you got to come. You never know. God wants him to see this. God wants him to see, yeah, he saved you. But God's got an assignment that he's chosen you for. He's got an assignment for you. And you don't have to know everything. But you do have to know who is calling you. You do have to know who's going to save you. You have to know that God is choosing you for a purpose. And listen, there's a process of teaching and training that God is taking you through. You didn't even sign up for the course. But when you surrendered your life to him, he began to train you, prepare you. He was taking you down this course to develop you fully so that you can take care of the things that God is putting in your life. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is this. I want to talk to you today about God's call on your life, because God is calling you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God's calling me. God is calling me. Now, there's a lot of ideas, lots of opinions about this. And sometimes it's taken to the extreme. And sometimes it's not taken serious enough. Most of the time we reserve people who are called to God as those who would stand up and preach, or those in the what they used to call the fivefold ministry from Ephesians, the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists. And we think those are the ones that God has called. But I need you to know that God has called you. Elbow your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. God's calling you. He's calling you. And I like to simplify things whenever we begin to talk about like this, because with the call of God, can I just be honest? I've been around church long enough that there's some spooky stuff that comes with it, because people just think they're called to everything. Seriously. And can I tell you, God did not call you to everything. You are not that good. And I'm not dogging you. I'm just telling you, God knows your limitations. And so have you ever got a person in your life that is acting all spiritual and trying to one-up you and tell you that God called you to everything? You could go ahead and throw my name out there and say, Pastor Wade said, nuh-uh, you ain't legit. Let me give you an example. I want you to imagine, every one of you, you have a phone pretty much, and there's some young person right now who wants a phone whose parent hadn't given them one yet, and they're elbowing him saying, I need a phone so I can fit into this message. But if someone were to call you on your phone, might be calling to talk. It might be calling to ask you for something. They may want to give you something. They may want to help you. Or they may want to ask for help. Can I tell you, the call of God is as simple as that? Seriously. Like, we have overplayed this into this special little scene that God is trying to include me in, because I'm so favored by the Lord. Can I tell you that the call of God is as simple as God calling you saying, hey, Vicky, I need some help. Can you help me? Is that easy? You're not even impressed with that. I am. I have to be honest. I'm impressed with that. Because of all the people on the planet that God would choose to call me to help him with that when he could have called someone else. But he says, hey, I'm going to call Wade. And I'm going to ask him to help me to reach some people in Tallahassee. So let me just give him a call and see if he's willing to come help. Now, I know that doesn't sound as special as you want it to sound, because you want angel visitations in the middle of the night, trumpets, you know what I'm saying? I know, I like the trumpets, but you're not getting trumpets. I know, you're laughing at it because you know people want that. They want red carpet treatment, limousines, entourage, to validate you, to tell you how important you are. And so watch this. We want a call from God to bring us validation. And can I tell you, God doesn't work like that. Because God doesn't use an assignment to validate you. He validates you himself. Because he's a father. And he loves you. And he's not scared to tell you he loves you. He's not scared to tell you how proud he is of you before you even do anything. By the way, he did that with Jesus. Do you know Jesus never even performed a miracle yet? He's getting baptized. This is important for those who haven't been baptized yet. He's getting baptized. Imagine this. Jesus is just trying to do everything he's supposed to do growing up in the church. He's getting baptized. An angel descends from heaven and it's God speaking saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Let me translate it. He's saying, "That's my boy. I love him and I'm proud of him." Amen. Do you know that Jesus hasn't done anything yet? Nothing. He's been a carpenter working with his daddy. That's it. Pick that up. Clean that up. Bring me that board. Don't make me throw this hammer at you, son. I mean, come on. At least that's what it looks like my whole experience with carpentry. Amen? Okay. Jesus hasn't done a miracle yet. And the Father says, "That's my boy. I'm proud of you. I love you. This is my boy, everybody. I'm proud of it." And he hasn't even done anything yet. He's affirming him based off of who he is rather than what he has done. That's why you don't need a position to affirm you, because you've got a father who's already giving it to you. And too many times we're looking to a position or to an opportunity to give us something that only God can give us. That's why we get mad about it after 3 months of walking into it. Come on, this is better preaching than what you're listening. He's calling you. This is the call of God simply. God chooses to call you to offer you salvation. Shane, I want to save your life. I want to forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed. Will you answer that call? Think of that. Today, you will have the opportunity to answer the call of God for your sins to be forgiven. He's calling, "Hey, you want me to forgive those sins? Hey, you know that sin that you're in? You want me to set you free from that? Because I can do it. I can get you out of that mess. I will save you in a heartbeat. You watch me. I will save you. You want me to help you?" And sometimes what happens is this. We're sending that baby straight to voicemail. Or are we hitting ignore? I mean, you know how you got the option where you can send a text message, "I will call you later"? And that's what our response becomes. And later turns into next year. And next year turns into 10 years. "Well, I'm going to be faithful, though." Well, hang in there. I'm going to be faithful. What if we would just answer the call? Just listen. And see what he's got to say. See what he's offering. Perhaps it would change some things in our lives. See, God's got some plans for you. He's got some plans for your life. Okay, so our kids are out of school. My kids, they have to know I have plans for them this summer. We're going to be moving in a couple of weeks, not out of town, but to another place to live. I have plans for them. They don't know. They may not like the plans I have for them. But I have other plans too. See what I'm saying? I have other plans. I hadn't told them all the plans yet, because that creates some chaos. When you tell them too much too soon, they just bug you. Just teaching y'all something. Maybe the Lord is very, very careful in what he's telling you so you don't bug him. Come on, some of y'all didn't like that. Some of y'all needed to hear that one, though. Because he's trying to develop something in you called faithfulness, okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. So he's calling you to give you the life he's planned for you, the life he's promised you. He's calling you to save you. But he's also calling to ask you for help, to be a part of helping others recognize the salvation that he wants to give to them too. Come on. See, it's not all about you. It's all about him. And when it's all about him, this is where we get to share in the opportunities and share in the blessings of all that God has for us. And today, God is calling people. He's calling you to be saved. He's calling you to follow him and help him with the mission of getting more people to follow him. That's what this whole call of God is about. And it takes on a lot of different expressions, but you got to grab hold of this, because if you don't see this main part of here, you will misinterpret the call of God. And it could create a ton of frustration, a ton of discouragement for you, a ton of confusion for you, to the point you don't feel like you're doing anything worthwhile. You're waiting for something grand to show up to validate you. You see what I'm saying? Like all of this stuff, and you can wind up just sitting idle for a long period of time when you could have been productive and it could have been affecting other people's lives. Could have been affecting other people's lives. So this is a holy calling, meaning this. It's set apart. It is special. It is reserved. And it has significance. That's a key word here, because there is a significant call that God has for each and every one of our lives. And in order to answer the call of God, this is where it comes down to. You have to be willing to take a different path. You have to be willing to take a different path. And this right here is where people are not cool, because they're trying to include the call of God on the path that they're on. And this is why they never get to see and fulfill the call of God on their lives. Listen, God will totally interrupt your life and your whole world to get you on track. He will make you angry. You say, well, that's just not right. As a parent, I have made my kids angry before trying to get them to do the right thing. Amen? Amen? Come on, don't act like you ain't never done it. How many of you ever made your child angry before? Oh, hold on. How many of you do not have your kids and you already know you're going to make them angry? Thank you, Jesus. You see, that's over. We don't have to talk about it anymore. So watch this. The call of God isn't a detour. Our plans are the detour. God's plan is the main road, the main highway that God wants us to be on. But we continue to try to form our own plans, thinking that we can get there quicker, get there easier. But that's not the way God wants to bring you, because he knows about the traffic on that highway. He knows about the mess on that highway that may keep you from ever getting there. That's why I say is you have to be willing to take a different path. And can I say, God is not obligated to bless you if you're not going to travel on his highway. I don't like that one either, because I like my way. I do. I like my way. But I've learned that God's way is way better than my way. So watch this. It's a choice. It's choosing God's way instead of my way. It's a faith walk. Choosing to answer the call of God is a faith walk, but it's also a work order. I used to work at this hospital. I was a maintenance worker. And all day there were these work orders that would just come across our desk. And they were constantly like, hey, come fix this. Come fix that. Anybody ever worked with a work order system before? People ask you to do some of the craziest things. Crazy stuff. Can you scrape the bubble gum off the bottom of the trash can? I'm not going to tell you what we did. The call of God is a faith walk. It's a work order. It's an adventure. It's the most challenging and fulfilling life you will ever live. So let's talk about it today. Because what is God's calling for your life? Who wants to know? What is God's calling for your life? Let's break it down. The first thing is this. It's an eternal call to Christ. Let's start the foundation of this thing. It's an eternal call to Christ. Pay attention to the words. Eternal call to Christ. Typically, our focus is on the present. But there is an eternal calling on our lives that is bigger than your past. It's a priority for your present, and it's foretelling of your future. And that is the call to Christ. It's the call to follow Jesus. Think about what Jesus told his first disciples that he called. The first ones, he said this. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, let's bring it into their context. They're commercial fishermen. And he approaches them as they're cleaning up from a long day at work. And he just stops by and he says, hey, if you follow me, I will make you not just a fisherman, but I will make you a fisher of men. In other words, I'm going to take your life to a whole nother level. That's why I said earlier, it's actually a promotion. It's not a lateral move. It's a promotion. He said, I can take your life to the next level if you follow me. And if you read the story, they immediately dropped their nets and started following him. They were so intrigued. They were so interested in what this guy would do. They didn't check their schedule to see what was going on. I know, that's the world we're living in. Can I tell you, sometimes the world we live in is our very trap. thought that would get an amen. I thought somebody would agree with me. You still don't. Okay, let me keep preaching. I got to do better. The word follow is this. Let me explain the word follow to you, because you just think, you go that way, I'm going to come right behind you. The word follow, though, it's really an urgent call. It's an urgent call. Imagine if you got a phone call and the person is struggling trying to tell you what's going on. You ever had a person that was involved in an emergency before and they're trying to call you and tell you what's going on? Hey, something's happened and we need you to come quick. It's an urgent call. The call of God is an urgent call. It's not just a laid back, we're going to see what's going to happen call. And so we got to make sure we understand how God is calling us. There's an urgent call to your salvation. God is urgently calling you today, saying, hey, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day and put off forgiveness. Today is your day. It's an urgent call. It's an urgent call to answer. He says, come follow me. But it's also a decisive call. It's a right now calling to follow his way. And it's an urgency to it. So watch this. Your relationship with Jesus is the highest calling that you will ever receive. Amen? It's the highest calling. He's saying, hey, I want a relationship with you. Remember back in the day in the dating scene where you were so scared to call that person and ask them out? Remember that? Now they just text. Back in the day before we text, you had to do the hard work. You had to figure out what you were going to say and how you were going to say it. We tried to text. We used letters. Now they just text them. Do you like me? Yeah. You want to go out? Yeah. Where are we going? I don't know. I'll see you at school tomorrow. Call of Jesus is this: hey, I love you. I gave my life for you. I want a relationship with you. Do you want a relationship with me? Like he is asking you, do you want a relationship with me? Isn't that incredible? Of all the people, he wants a relationship with you. You ever had the thought, man, there are a lot better people all around this world that Jesus should be interested in rather than me? He's interested in you. The bugs are coming after me now. Your relationship with Jesus, the higher call. And can I say this? It's also the call that we take for granted the most. It's the one that we just kind of, he saved me. He'll forgive me if I ever screw up too. That's kind of our approach to it. But the call of Jesus to his salvation is the most important thing in our lives. And watch this. Our focus when it comes to a calling has to be, it's usually this. It's usually, what does God want me to do? But what if it's this? What if it's who he's calling you to? Not just what he wants you to do, but it's who he's calling you to. He calls us to who he is so we can be who he wants us to be. You see, it's not just doing a task, but it's being transformed into the person that he originally created us to be. Are you grabbing this? I really hope you're listening closely to this, because if we don't clear this confusion up, you will live the rest of your life striving to be something in your own strength that you cannot be. And you'll become frustrated with God. You'll become frustrated with church. You'll become frustrated with everything of God, thinking that I cannot do anything to please him. You will. I have seen this happen too many times. And the whole thing we have to understand is this thing starts with him. He's calling us to him. So understand this. He calls us to a who before he calls us to a what, so that we will understand the why. You gotta get this. He calls us to a who before a what. So he's not going to sit there and start saying, hey, Will, I want you to do this, 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 and this without a relationship. He doesn't use people like that, because he loves us too much to do that to us. He wants the relationship, and out of the relationship, that's where the tasks begin to flow. And they're full of purpose that way, and it doesn't feel like I'm overwhelmed with something I can't do, because my Father has set me up to do all of these things. So he's calling you to himself, and out of the relationship with him, that's where you begin to realize what he's calling you to do. But the relationship always keeps you understanding the why. I was teaching this ministry school one time, and I was asking these young guys, they were going into the ministry, and I asked them, I said, how do you know that you're going to last? How do you know that you're going to make it as a believer, serving God, answering the call of God on your life? How do you know you're going to make it? And these little guys, they're all fired up. We're going to win the world for Jesus kind of guys, you know what I'm saying? They're always fired up and like, yeah, we're going to do this, just like super stoked all the time. Like, how do you know you're going to make it? And this is what they said, because I love people. And God's put such a love in my heart for people that I just want to reach them all, man. I want to reach the world. We're going to save the world for Jesus. And they were just so motivated about it. And I said, well, what are you going to do whenever somebody that you love so much hurts you? And what are you going to do whenever they reject the very thing that you're trying to do? Well, they're not going to reject Jesus. People reject Jesus every day. So the motivation cannot come from people. The motivation comes from Him. Come on, this is a word for somebody, because you've been basing all that you're doing off of people's reactions. And you're getting burnt out because of what people are doing. Let's not miss what God is doing. The motivation is always the relationship with Him. In other words, I don't get tired of doing it because I love Him, because He loves me. Come on, this is good foundation, am I right? He loves me. I love Him. I want to do stuff for Him because I love Him. That's why I do what I do. It's not for people, because listen, people are crazy everywhere. I don't know how that verse didn't make it in the Bible, but people are crazy everywhere. They are. Some of them are sitting right next to you. So He calls us to a who before He calls us to what, so we will always understand the why. So watch this. Today, God's calling you to an eternal relationship with Jesus. Not just right now. Not just when I was a kid. Like, oh, these kids need to go to camp and get saved. Yes, they do. But they need to live it out for the rest of their lives, too. It's not just now. It's now and forever. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Sound like a country song. Okay. Number two. An everyday calling to a godly standard. We have an everyday calling to a godly standard. So in order to do what God's calling you to do, you have to become what God is calling you to be. Okay? It's not just tell me what to do and I'll go do it. You got to become it in order to do it. In other words, there's a work that God must be done in you so that the work can be done through you. Okay? So whenever God looks at you, He not only sees where you are, but He sees where and who you could be. And the cool thing about it is God is dedicated to helping you get to the place where you should be. He's not just looking at you and say, well, you ain't there yet, can't use you. He's like, let's get to work. Let's work it out, y'all. Come on, isn't that what relationships do? They work it out. And so God sees where you're at. He knows where you could be. So He starts working. And the question is, are we willing to put the work into the relationship that He's willing to put? And as we begin to work together with Him, we begin to change. We begin to grow. And as we're growing into who God wants us to be. And this is where the confusion comes, because most people are like, just tell me what to do. And they want to skip the growth period. I got a son who's starting to drive now, okay? He's 15, got a permit. And I'm not doing well in the front seat riding with him. I have to be honest. Cynthia does way better. I'm riding in the back seat, and I have 100% became a back seat driver. Brake. Son, are you going to brake? You might want to brake now. Brake! Hit the brakes! Yesterday, we almost ran into the back of this trailer. I'm telling you, we were coming back from the serve day thing. I mean, we were sweaty and everything, and I just thought, I'm going to wreck my truck. Hit the brakes! We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We've got work to do, but I'm committed to working to Him, because this is what I see in His future. I see Him picking up his brother and sister from school. I, his father, and calling him to a family purpose. Got work to do, but we're going to get there. So watch this. There's a space between where we are, where we could be, who we are, and who we should be. And God won't call you to something without the help to get you there. That's for somebody. God won't call you to something without the help to get you there. Can I tell you something I've learned about us? We're better at helping than we are at getting help. Yeah. Yes. I gotta say that again. Yeah. We're better at helping than we are at getting help. Might be a little bit of pride in there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Even though Timothy's got this position as a pastor in the church, the dude still needed some help. Come on, don't think just because I'm pastor of the church, I don't need some help. Can I hear an amen? Come on, let me hear it go. Some of y'all said it like you knew it. So listen what he tells him. He says, I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do his work. I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do his work. That's just a great line. He went out on a limb, you know, and trusting me with this ministry. This is Paul describing. He's trying to help Timothy understand it. So he's like, let me tell you a little something, dude. I'm grateful to Jesus for making me adequate to do his work because I couldn't do it without him. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. And the only credentials I brought to it were invective and witch hunts and arrogance. Like he's just throwing his own self under the bus right here. And some of you, you read that and you're like, Paul's a bad dude. He was. He was killing people in the name of God. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know who I was, who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me all because of Jesus. See, he's taking it back to the relationship. I'm able to do this not because of my abilities and my strengths, but because of him. And we have a Superman complex. We think we could do it all. Listen, I know I'm a DIY kind of guy. I will figure it out and I will do it. But God puts you in places that you cannot do it. God will put you in a place where it's bigger than you. Watch this. The whole God won't give me more than I can handle. He will give you more than you can handle all of the time. And the reason he does that is so that your relationship with him will grow. He wants you to depend on him. And he was going to leave you in that spot so that you depend on him. A few weeks ago, we read the verse, self-help is no help at all. Because we're relying on the wrong source. He is our source, so we rely on him. So watch this. I want you to remember this. You don't just go into what God is calling you to do. You grow into it. You don't just go do it. God, tell me, and I'm going to go do it. God's got to grow you into it. It's like shoes. We're trying to run in shoes that don't fit. No wonder we're getting burned out. No wonder we're getting worn out. We can't run in those shoes. Why? Because we haven't grown to fill the capacity of the shoes yet. But if I would be committed to growing, eventually those shoes are going to fit just nice. And I'm going to be able to run this rate. And I'm not going to get tired. Why? Because it fits me just right. There's a growth period that we've got to go through in order to become what God is calling us to be. That's where you see the faithfulness of God, by the way. Because if God didn't love you, he would just throw you out there. He would throw you in the middle of the lake and you never knew how to swim. He'd say, good luck. But what does he do? He says, let's start working on the simple things. Let's see you kick your feet. Well, I don't like kicking my feet. I want to swim to the other side of the lake. Well, you don't know how to swim yet. So watch this. God, help me to swim to the other side of the lake. God, help me to swim to the other side of the lake. God, help me to swim to the other side of the lake. That's how we start praying. And God's like, okay, I will help you swim to the other side of the lake. But first, hold on right here and let's kick your feet. I don't want my face to get wet. I don't want my hair to get wet. Here's the thing. He's developing your character so that it will sustain your gift. He's trying to develop your character so that the gift that he's given you is going to be useful, because if your character isn't developed, your gift will wind up crushing you. And we give a lot of emphasis to gifts, and the gifts are important. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, but we got to pay attention to our character, or else we will misuse the very gifts that God gives us. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. It's character development. And so watch this. He uses the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to counsel us, to teach us, to prepare us. He uses the Holy Spirit to convict us, to convince us. It's the Holy Spirit that is working on us. That's why you get that little check about your attitude every now and then. Where'd that come from? It's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to keep you from making a mess out of this thing so that you have the character to sustain the very gift that he's putting on your life. So watch this. He uses the Holy Spirit. He uses the church to keep you on track. He uses his word to show you his ways. Do you see how God is faithful to you? And these are things we take for granted. He brings people into our lives that help get us on track. God will use people. He will use people to develop you, even people you don't like. Amen. There's been a lot of people in my journey answering the call of God. There's been some people that I did not like, but I see how God used them. Seriously, there's been others that I love, and God used them, and I heard them say things to me I never thought they would say, some corrective things. But it was all in the part of helping me develop and become the man of God that he wanted me to be. And it wasn't always sugarcoated. It wasn't candy. Come on, we're not talking about sweethearts here. It's meat. So watch this. There's a space between where you are and where God wants you to be in your life. And how do I fill that space? How am I going to get there? That's where the grace of God comes in. Because you do not measure up. See, God didn't call you because you were good enough. I got to help you realize that, because we're trying to qualify ourselves for stuff that we will never qualify for, but it's by his grace. That's why when you read the Bible, notice how Paul starts. When you start reading like Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, what does he say? By the grace of God, I am who I am. It's by the grace of God. I couldn't be this. I couldn't be where I'm at today if it were not for the grace of God. He wasn't saying, look at me. I've accomplished all of this. I am great. No, he's saying, I couldn't be this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there's a humility to it. And why? Why does he use his grace to fill the space? So that he gets the credit. So that he gets the credit. Now, let's hit the last one, because I know this is the one you want to hear. You have an earthly calling to an assignment. You have an earthly calling to an assignment. Now, I wish I had more time for this one, but we got to run through it, okay? Now, this is the one we all want to hear about, and the reason why we mentioned earlier is because we get a lot of validation from opportunities, from positions, and from all of that. But just like we said, our validation doesn't come from these opportunities. They come from the Father. It comes from that relationship with him. And I think that's so important, because what if God calls you to pick up some trash? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not glorious. I remember when I became youth pastor, man, I was so excited, because, like, we're answering the call. They called me, like, Pastor Wade. And we're, like, a few weeks into this thing with our youth group and everything, and I didn't know that a custodian didn't come with the position. I thought they were just going to clean the youth room and all that stuff. I didn't know I had to clean it. Okay, but I'm going to do it, because I want it to be nice for the kids whenever they come. A few weeks into this thing, and kids starting to show up, and this one kid comes up to me and like, Pastor Wade, come see. I'm like, okay, what's up? There's something on the floor in the bathroom, in the men's bathroom. It's like, what do you mean? There's something on the floor in the men's bathroom. And yes, it is what you think it is. So I went in the bathroom, and sure enough, there was something on the floor in the men's bathroom. And you know, in my mind, I thought, somebody needs to come pick this up. Clean this up. And then I remembered there was no custodian that came along with the youth pastor position. And I realized, oh, I am the custodian. And I had to clean up some mess that day. And I didn't know that's what God was calling me to do. Because I felt like, man, in being entrusted with the teaching of God's word, is what God was calling me to do. I didn't know it was going to come with cleaning up somebody's something. And I think if we don't understand the relationship with God, we fall into the trap of thinking that that's not for me to do. You know who I like to honor? I like to honor those ladies that, and those gentlemen that serve in kids. Because right now, there's somebody back there cleaning up something of your kid. Come on, somebody. But we don't think of that as God calling them to do that. But to understand the call of God, if it's helping people to be saved, is significant. And there's somebody back there today who is dealing with your kid's stuff, so that you can be in here today and hear a message like this. And can I tell you, that's a high calling.
Yes, it is.
That's a high calling. Because after all, a lot of times doing ministry is cleaning up people's stuff. But we don't view it that way because, again, we're trying to get validation out of these things. And I don't do what God's called me to do for validation. I do it because I'm in a relationship with him. He needs me to help him, so I want to help him. because there's a lot of people that need help. And so, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. And if it means going in the bathroom with a glove on and helping pick something up, I will pick it up. And if it means standing in front and preaching, I will preach. And if it means helping somebody park in the parking lot, I'll help them park. And if it's shaking a hand and giving them a little flyer at the door, I'll give it to them, man. If I know that it's a part of something that God needs help with, I'm all about it. Come on, you're grabbing this today. Your mind's got to be straight, or else you will always be waiting for something big time. You'll always be waiting for some kind of showboat opportunity, and you will never, ever get it. You will always miss it. You'll miss it because we're waiting for validation. So watch this. Here's some things to know. The call of God isn't just an assignment, but it's assignments. You take a math class in school. You don't just get homework one day. Come on, somebody. You get a series of assignments, and all of those assignments help you accomplish that class. And after you finish that class, you're promoted to the next level. And there's a lot of people who like to skip assignments, and they're wondering, God, why aren't you using me? Why aren't you doing it? I've just been doing the same old thing I've always done. Why? Because we're not completing the assignments that he gave us. Because we're waiting on significant. When he's calling us to serve. Come on, this is so good, man. I wish I would have heard this 20-something years ago, man. He's calling us to serve. So watch this. Not just one assignment, but as many assignments that fulfills the Great Commission. And it's not determined by a position, but it will position you to do things you never thought you could do or things you never thought you would do. Come on, as youth pastor, I just thought we were going to preach and reach a lot of kids and go to conferences. I had no clue the Lord would bring me into the bathroom. I didn't know that. But I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that, because can I tell you, there's been some instances in planning a church where I've been in some bathrooms, and it was interesting. I was at another school here when our church was located there. I'm not going to mention the name of it. And I went in the bathroom, and I had a flashback to being a youth pastor, because there were some high school boys that had been in that room, and they needed some help and some blessings and some attention. And you know what I thought? I've been there before. I know what to do in this situation. I'm going to be faithful to God. And I've got the mop. And I cleaned it up. And later on, I had to preach. See, there is not this whole matter of, I don't do that. It's a matter of, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. Come on, are we there? Have we gotten to the point in our life, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do, even if it doesn't seem significant to others. I see the significance in it, because it's going to bless others, it's going to impact others, it's going to change others. And I'm willing to do the little things. If you're faithful in the little, you rule over much. Come on, that is such good stuff. So watch this. It's going to require obedience, it's going to require faith, it's going to require submission, and it's going to require sacrifice. That's what the call of God requires. Requires all of these things. It will give the utmost fulfillment. So watch this. When we think of a godly assignment, we think of an opportunity. But we need to begin to think it's a responsibility. It's not just an opportunity, it's a responsibility. It's a personal responsibility. You have a personal responsibility to follow Jesus. Listen to me. You have a personal responsibility to be a man of God. You have a personal responsibility to be a woman of God. Come on, can I get a good amen? I know you want me to say you got a responsibility to stand in front of the masses. You got a responsibility to reach those who no one else. But I need you to know you got a responsibility to be a man and woman of God. And God is calling you to that. Amen? It's a personal responsibility. You got a personal responsibility to learn and to discover the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And you got the personal responsibility to commit to a church. That is your personal responsibility, and the call of God is going to work through his church. Yes. I know you're looking at me like, I ain't the only way. It's going to work through his church, because that is what God is doing on the planet. He is building his church. Okay? So you got a personal responsibility. You got a family responsibility. God has called you to your family. Think about it. Out of all the people, God gave you those kids. Out of all the people, God gave you that spouse. I didn't hear nobody say nothing on that one. So you got a family responsibility to be a great son or daughter, to be a great husband, to be a great wife. God is calling you to be a great husband. Come on, man. He's calling you to be a great husband no matter how your wife is. He's calling you to be a great wife no matter how crazy your husband is. He's calling you to be that. And you can't say, well, I'll do it if they do it. No, I'm going to be it because that's what God wants me to be. Come on. He's calling you to that. He's called you to provide and support your family. He's called you to that. I know y'all want to get to the fun stuff, the fancy stuff, but we got to get the personal stuff and the family stuff taken care of because there's too many people that get into the ministry stuff and their family falls apart because things are out of order. We got to keep it in order. There's an order to it. And here's the one you wanted to hear about is the kingdom responsibilities. The kingdom responsibilities. There are so many opportunities in the kingdom of God. But can I just sum it up with this? God's called you to be a servant. To be a servant. There is nothing beneath me as a servant. I am willing to do whatever needs to be done. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Come on, I don't know who's called to wipe a child's rear end. I know that's an extreme example. I don't know who's called to take out the trash, but somebody's got to do it, amen? Come on, Jesus, you know that story when he washed the feet? Somebody had to wash their feet because it was stinking at dinner, y'all. I know we make it all spiritual, but can we get practical? When people show up stinking and we're trying to eat, it'll make you sick. Clean it up. Somebody's got to do it. Jesus gave the ultimate example of servanthood, so he cleaned. We have a kingdom responsibility, watch this, to make disciples. He's called you to make disciples. He's like, what is that? He's calling you to help others follow him. You say, well, how am I going to do that? You know the people that you run with. You say, well, they don't want to hear all that stuff. Well, they may not want to hear it the way I would say it, but they may want to hear it the way you would say it. Come on. See, it's not just a preacher's job to save people. See, we got to get out of just conversion mode. We got to get into following mode. And God has given you access to people's lives to influence them. Some of you are lucky to have the job you have. You are. You know it too. You know you're unqualified. You made that resume look really, really good. And God gave you the position not just to bless you financially, but because there was somebody in that office he wanted to influence for him. Come on. So he gave you some access into that person's life. No wonder they always want to go to lunch with you. And you're sitting there saying, God, I wish she would leave me alone. Maybe that's your opportunity to reach them. Come on. See, these are kingdom responsibilities. We are called to share our faith. We're called to build the church. See, I could have went down these roads and got so specific. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is calling thou into the ministry today. And we get excited about that stuff. But yeah, everybody says, oh, the Lord thy God called me. But okay, let's park the car. Let's serve in kids. Let's do that stuff so that first-time guest can hear about Jesus. Come on. That's the real stuff, y'all.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff we overlook. And that's why I wanted to tell you, if as long as we're looking for the call of God to validate us, we're always going to view the call of God that way. And it doesn't have purpose that way. All it has is pleasure. Are you grabbing this? All it has is pleasure. The call of God is, God, I just want to help you because I love you so much and you love me. So watch this, last verse and we wrap up. Ephesians 2:10. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better get doing. This is the call of God on our lives. I'm going to go some more into this in the weeks to come. But I felt like we needed to talk about this today because of our view of the call of God. And the main one today is this. Is God's calling you to this relationship with him? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I go to church, and I got saved because they told me I needed to do it. When I was 8, I walked the aisle. And I know a lot of people who walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, and don't have a relationship with Jesus. God wants a relationship, and he's calling you today. He's inviting you to be a part of his family, to be in a relationship with him. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm a million miles away from God. And the way you're presenting this today makes it sound like, even though I'm a million miles away, God is reaching out to connect with me. And can I tell you, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Because that is the exact truth. God wants a relationship with you. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want this relationship with Jesus that you're talking about. I want the forgiveness. I want to live my life God's way. Will you just slip a hand up real quick, and we're going to pray with you all together. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else? Say, I got to give my life to Jesus. I can't keep living this way. God, this is so incredible. Lots of hands going up today. Every week we pray this prayer all together. You can put your hands down. Every week we pray this prayer all together. This is what we do. We say it out loud. I'll lead you in it. You repeat it. We're going to say it out loud. And what does this do? This kickstarts. This is the beginning of the relationship with God. And as a church, this is what we're committed to do. We're committed to help you to grow in your walk with God. This isn't just pray the prayer and good luck. It's I'm praying the prayer. I'm starting my walk with God. And this family of believers is going to help me to keep growing and keep going in my walk with God. That's what we want to help you to do. And I want to lead you in this prayer this morning. Come on, church. Every Sunday we pray it. Let's say it out loud. Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for choosing me.
Thank you for calling me. That you would be interested in a relationship with me. Lord, I need you. I've got some things in my life that are wrong. I got some doubts. I'm worried. I'm searching. But now I see you. And I ask you to come be my Lord and Savior. To forgive every sin I've ever committed. And help me to live the life that you created for me. I ask you to change me from the inside. Make me a new person, the person you want me to be. And I choose today to live my life your way. I'm following you. I'm trusting you. I'm living for you. In Jesus' name.